Welcome to another episode of the Pop Culture Roundtable, the podcast that can't wait for the pandemic to be over so we can go get one of those old-timey Western photos. In this episode, we talk about Ted Lasso, Lovecraft Country, Brass Birmingham, and Earthworm Jim. I'm Andrew Sale.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
I'm Patrick Hill.
So take your pick of old-timey bartender, old-timey outlaw, or old-timey showgirl, because it's time to get sepia.
Step right up and get some love.
We like to kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Lauren, why don't you start us off?
So I've been reading some books this week, which is different, you know? Been mainly talking about streaming stuff. I mentioned this series before. It's called Descender, but now I'm reading the sequel book, which is Ascender. And I talked about this like much more in depth before, but just as like a reminder, it's like a comic of that like was about like a future robot uprising. And so like humanity is like trying to kill off all the robots after that like didn't quite go through. And you're following the story of this little little boy robot who is kind of like the AI character in like the movie AI, like the little like Haley Joel Osment character. So it's kind of like that. And then that story goes one way, but it ends and like does a full switch from sci-fi to fantasy. And the story kind of is like 10 years later and like all of the sci-fi stuff has like disappeared and like magic has taken over. So it's like a complete switch. And at first I was like, are you kidding me? Why would they do this? How is this going to work? I don't get it. And now that I'm reading it, I absolutely love it. And I'm totally surprised that that works in any way so whatsoever to like make such a hard switch from like, you know, literally like Star Trek to like full on, like very like Dungeons and Dragons level magic. There are vampires, like fairies, like all kinds of crazy stuff. So I'm really enjoying that series and I totally recommend it. The second one, like book of it just came out. So it'll be a while before you can get new stuff, unfortunately, but it's definitely worth checking out. A lot of comics are like on pause right now that I like. So this is the one that I'm like most excited about right now.
So why are they on pause? Because it seems like of all the professions, this is one that easily could be done remotely.
Well, stuff like Saga like took a break ahead of time. They're just like still on the same hiatus. And that's usually the one that I'm like the minute that a new one comes out, I go and get it. And like some of the other ones I read, like they finished an arc. So like then a lot of times the people take a break anyway. So it's just kind of like a weird timing thing for the stuff that I'm most interested in. It's not, I don't think like,
okay, it's
those
not
people are working or it's like all comics. Yeah. It's just happens to be that a lot of the stuff that I like right now is, on break.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would imagine. I feel like that industry would be pretty, like, market proof, and economy proof, and culture proof. You know, it just seems like that industry could probably weather any storm.
Considering it like got started roughly around the time of it made its way through the Great Depression, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
That it is kind of like the cockroach of industries, of entertainment industries.
Oh, no.
Like, as we're talking about it, it's making me question why I did not start a business in the comic book industry.
Yeah. And then you realize you don't write, you don't draw, you don't color or ink.
Don't generally have creative ideas.
No, you...
But you could own a store.
Much, you could be a distributor.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't know that you want a brick and mortar. But I'm talking about making comics is good. I think selling them is probably still bad news.
It's pronounced Rick and Morty. Sorry. I know you don't watch it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what she was talking? I wasn't paying attention. I just assumed that's what she was talking about.
Yeah. No, it was The Magicians.
Project Runway?
Yeah, obviously.
We've covered the trifecta. That's the holy Lauren's trinity trifecta of Lauren.
Will you please make a mashup? Can you do a Runway, Magicians, Project Runway, Magicians, Rick and Morty mashup, please? On your Instagram feed this week.
Yeah.
If you could do a mashup of that would be great.
Yeah. We know
I was like, I don't have time to do it this week, but I'll put it on the list because that would be fun.
Oh, are you putting it on Andrew's list?
Yeah, she's putting it on the list. I want people to know. Maybe. Well, no, it's fine. Go on. Keep going, Lauren. What you got?
I just want people to know that you do the stuff on the list. Is that what you're trying to get across?
I don't need to prove myself to anybody.
You clearly want to.
Yeah.
He does
I want
list.
To,
yeah.
But I don't have to. And that's the self-talk I'm giving myself today.
That's perfect.
Uh-huh.
Based on both of you guys' suggestion last week, I started watching Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like probably how Patrick does on our Harry Potter podcast. I almost said that backwards, how Harry feels on our Patrick Potter podcast.
The Pondering Patrick's Potter podcast.
Oh, we can't call it.
It'd probably
that.
Be the Harry Patrick.
The Harry Patrick podcast.
I can't even.
Honestly, this show is essentially the Harry Patrick podcast.
That's true.
So I had some misconceptions about this show since I've never actually watched it. And like, I was trying to think like why I've never watched it. And I think part of the reason is that like, even when like I started watching reality shows, this had been on for like 10 plus years. And I'm like, I'm not going to, you know, get this. Like, this is too far for me. I'm going to just like, let it go.
Yeah. Clearly
and
this show doesn't have staying power. No one likes this show. That's why they're 10 seasons.
No, it's not because of that. It's just like, I figured there's like too much, you know, like information that you maybe needed to know from like 10 seasons of history. And you guys convinced me that like you can just jump in anyway. Yeah. So like I didn't actually think that, or like they do a good job of explaining, I think, what people's relevant history is, at least like to make the episodes interesting enough, like without having watched other things. Cause this is an all-star season, like you mentioned. So
and there are people who haven't, who a little different. Played 14 years ago. Like that's crazy. Yeah. And so they have to, in order to keep the show relevant, they do have to kind of do like the previously on it, with all the different characters.
Yeah, Mr. Meow Meow, Mr. Enzo, his was a long time ago. Ian's was still like a decade ago.
Well, like a lot of them are from double digit years ago. Mm-hmm. And like it is interesting. Like I feel like it's probably way different than a normal season because like immediately people are talking strategy and stuff, and like the level of strategizing that they need to do is so different than what I thought, because like I also didn't really realize there were so many challenges involved. I thought the main challenge is just like staying in the house and putting up with each other and
like
being
real
on camera
world
all the time.
Like you thought it was like real world,
I guess,
didn't you?
No, but like you're stuck in the house and you can't leave, and that's the challenge,
right?
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but otherwise that is essentially real world. Like there's
nothing. Yeah, I guess I thought it was more like real world. And I definitely thought like the drama and like who's hooking up with who kind of stuff is more relevant. And this might not happen this season because most of them are older and more mature. And like a lot of them are married.
Yeah.
I was surprised how many are married to the like people that they either competed with or other prior brother people. That's interesting to me.
I think there's only like three people in the house that aren't married currently.
Yeah, like, it's really just interesting because like. Yeah. A lot of the reality shows that I watch, if people are in a relationship because of the reality show, that's kind of like a warning bell, you know, like these relationships like have one foot in the grave already. And to see that like so many lasted is interesting to me, but I've never watched this show. So I don't really know if the dynamic is like way more healthy than I realize. Maybe like,
it's a lot more real than some of the other quote unquote reality shows, because you're literally living with somebody day to day for 3 months, you know?
And there's not a forced fantasy. You're living with people that are slobs. And
yes, you're living with like the reality of how people interact day in and day out. It's not driven
That was something that I thought was interesting, like on the shows. They're already talking about like, oh, I can't like do this in the house because people find that annoying when they watch it on TV and stuff. And I was like, what? Like, how can you like censor yourself that much like all the time? Like, it's absolutely crazy to me. And, I would be a terrible contestant on this show, basically.
I would love to watch you on this show. I would love to see what happens.
I'd be so bad.
I would love it.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, so it is a bit of a different season. And again, I don't have a ton of experience with it, but from the experience I have, I mean, it just plays different because people do come in with a lot of baggage. People do come in with...
like the one guy like in the last episode like has a grudge because he eliminated his friends many seasons ago. And I was like, whoa, Dan. This goes deep.
Yeah,
like,
Memphis lost to Dan, and then Ian beat Dan. And then Memphis and Dan had like a final two. And so... whatever.
And every episode so far, when I'm like, I like this person, they get put on the chopping block, so I need to stop liking people.
That's why I like Big Brother. My sensibilities align with Big Brother.
What I didn't realize is that the people that watch that show, or the people that compete on that show, they study past episodes.
Yeah. So, no, like, clearly they do. Yeah, like there's so much, like I said, strategy involved in this, and like levels that I would have never considered.
So even if these people haven't, even if them being in the house, this is the first time they've met in the house, they've watched their other seasons. Everybody knows what everybody else has done. Everybody knows each other's gameplay. That was always very fascinating to me, because coming in on day one, on a normal season, you have a pretty good chunk of people that just go the play dumb route. And inevitably you learn no one's dumb. Like, everybody has studied this. Everybody's put a huge amount of thought, huge amount of intentionality. And I don't know. It's a bit of the, you know, people talk about enjoying like going to the mall and sitting on a park bench and watching strangers. It's a bit of that too. Like it satisfies this, like, I guess I'd be a voyeuristic itch, but it is, I mean, I really like watching it. It's one of those things that I don't typically like reality TV. I don't watch any other reality programs, and I haven't for years. And then for whatever reason, started to watch this last season with, you know, Andrew, and man, it just sucked me in. I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's the good.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, it's definitely like a very elaborate social experiment.
It's very rare that you see people actually hate each other. Most of the time, like, you see people, like, people get upset and frustrated.
I'm sure they get mad about, like, something that happens in the moment, but you, like, have to get over it because you live together. It's like when you fight with your brother and sister, like, you just, like, are going to get over it because, like, you have to see each other in the next 10 minutes. Like,
people are really good about maintaining respect for each other's game. So people are really good about saying, like, I hate your guts, but I 100% respect what you did and would have done that if I was you. So,
and then at the
Andrew,
end of
has
the
it
game,
always been like that?
Yeah, for the most, well, yes.
Because I feel like in the beginning, probably it had to be different. But like there wasn't these like known
once you realize what it actually takes to win the game and what it takes to play the game, you recognize typically what ends up happening is people get mad because someone got to it before they did, or somebody just was able to one up them on something, but they still, at the end of the day, what you'll come to find, and I don't want to, like, this isn't a spoiler, but like,
yeah,
for the most part, those people, usually the people who get wronged, usually end up voting for those people to win the game. So like at the end of the day,
which I don't,
it's like you want to lose to the best kind of mentality.
Yeah. And like, yeah, exactly. And it, you might not like how you did me dirty, but ultimately this is the game, and you're playing the game at a higher level, and so because of that, I'm going to reward you with the prize. And so, I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, because Lauren doesn't know about like what the jury looks like yet,
right?
Or how that unfolds, because that's not going to happen for a couple weeks. Stick with it.
I think I will. It's very interesting. And I like, I didn't realize how long they're in there either. Like, 3 months is a long time.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, like, I wish.
And I realize most shows air for that long anyway, but they most reality shows, like especially competition shows, they film it much like truncated, like filming schedule.
Yeah, 5 or 6
weeks.
This
is like actually live 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
I would give anything, given the current state of 2020, to be locked in the Big Brother house right now. It would be hard for me to
do. Do you feel like you would be good at it? I do not feel like I would be good at this, because like,
oh, I think I would be.
People can always tell when I'm lying, number one.
I think I would kill at it.
I like to imagine that I'd be good, but the reality is I think my empathy is too high. I think that my empathy and need to like be trustworthy almost, I think could very easily hurt me. You have to.
Yeah,
have...
I think I'm like definitely too much of a people pleaser to be on that show. Like, I would feel bad all the time.
Yeah, I don't give
a
shit.
Well, let me say it this other way. You do actually need a high level
of
empathy. You do need a high level of empathy because you need to understand what other people are thinking and feeling. But the issue is you don't need to then coddle those people, or like, you need to be able to recognize it.
You need to have a good ability to communicate with people. That's the thing. You have to be able to meet people in the middle, see where they're coming from, and then still play your game on top of it.
Yeah, and then still be willing to ignore it because it's a game.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I could get to that last part of, this is a game and this is okay.
I don't know if I would be like that cool with it in the moment, but like, give me 24 hours, I'll be fine. Like, you know?
Yeah, I would love. I would absolutely love to go on that show. That would be.
Andrew would be good at it.
I think that. Would be
I
such
do think
blast.
You like.
That'd be my awesome. If I went on the show, my strategy is, day one, I would just start cooking the most elaborate meals I could cook, and I would be.
Oh yeah, that would be my strategy for sure.
I'd be like, you don't want to kick out. You don't want to kick out the one person that makes good food around here. That's my strategy.
But then, like,
you
Long
John Silver this shit.
Halfway
like, that's
into
his
making,
plan.
Halfway into making dinner, you shatter all of the pizza stones, and they're like, "What the heck, Patrick?"
Yeah, and then we can't have pizza anymore.
And they kick you out of the house because you broke all the cookware.
Inevitably, my season there would be like a two Michelin star chef also cast that year, and I just get my hopes completely dashed.
You're like, I can
memorize all these recipes for nothing.
Yeah. Okay. What else you got, Lauren?
And then last thing that I've been doing this week is watching and absorbing a lot of Harry Potter stuff for our new podcast project, Pondering Potter, which hopefully a few of you guys have checked out. I've been getting all the episode artwork ready ahead of time, and it's just been so much fun.
Our new podcast, our premiered podcast project, the Pondering Potter podcast with Patrick.
Yes.
And that was amazing.
As a bit of pandering,
please say that five times
please
fast.
Go rate and review the show. That's very important right now. So if you haven't listened, go search Pondering Potter, or of course check the show notes. It is a separate feed. So we did drop episode one on this feed, but that's the only episode you're getting on this feed. You have to go subscribe on the other Pondering Potter feed. But listen to it. Please go ahead, take the time, drop rating and review. I know we ask for it a lot, but it is extra important right now because we're new. And when podcasts are new, that you have the chance to be new and noteworthy, which is a very, very helpful thing to be. It's very important in the life of a show for that to happen. And so we need a lot of activity.
Yeah, and if you've left a review on this show, first of all, thank you. Second of all, that doesn't carry over. So like, head over to the Pondering Potter podcast and review that show, and rate that one as well. That's what's going to help us because, like Patrick said, like we're new in that feed because it's a totally brand new feed, and so every little bit helps get us up to rankings where people will actually start seeing it and people. We'll start finding it organically as opposed to it being shared and things. So feel free to share it as well.
Please
that's awesome, too.
Also, that's also awesome. But leave a rating and review, but check out Pondering Potter. And this has been Pandering Patrick.
Pandering Patrick on the Pondering Potter podcast. All right. Lauren, who are you throwing it to?
Pandering Patrick.
Perfect. So search party. I've been looking for a new show to pick up. And I had two contenders. One of them was Dark, which I decided I did not have the mental capacity to pick up right now because I think that show is going to be a bit like watching a show like Breaking Bad or Lost, where you feel like you have to pay attention to everything and like try
I've been told that is explicitly true.
I can for sure.
It's also
I've
like
the first
not even
four
in
episodes,
English.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're about to find out in a couple minutes exactly what it's like.
Yes.
But I instead chose to pick up Search Party. I saw Search Party had high ratings. I was familiar with some of the cast, and it from the preview, it seemed like it was going to play a bit like a dark comedy, which is up my alley. So I decided to jump in the show. I didn't know anything about it. I knew it was on HBO Max, and that's the extent of my knowledge. I've now been through two seasons of the show. So there are three. They've actually ordered a fourth. So we do have even more Search Party coming. But here's what I learned. A, this show is not new. This show's actually been around for like 5 years or something like that. So the show originally was on TBS. After two seasons, HBO bought the show. And then the third season just came out this year, several years after season two. But HBO has now created another season, so that's great. So if you like the show or if you're getting started with the show, happy news. There's actually new episodes. And on top of that, like I said, HBO has already ordered a season four, so we will get even more Search Party. So that's great. If you're like me and you're discovering the show and you like it, there's already the excitement of there's more on the way. So Search Party follows a group of four millennials that are living in New York. These are like late 20-somethings, maybe early 30-somethings.
Yeah.
And probably more the late 20-somethings. And they're you know, it's, we've been through that time period or we're going through that time period. You're really trying to establish what you do of importance and what you're going to be able to point to and what makes you valuable as a person. You're still dealing with the, I feel like I'm capable, but people won't give me opportunities. And that kind of fight, you don't necessarily have, you know, well, you don't have a lot of expendable income. And so you're seeing all those bits of it. It's actually, I commented to my wife, to Mackenzie, that I was really impressed at how they were handling some of that subject matter because it felt so real. Once you watch the show, that might be very depressing or very funny, or I don't know, but it just felt very real to me, the portrayal. And then on top of that, they're dealing with a kind of crazy situation, which is initially it's a missing person, and then we see how that mm-hmm. unfolds. So this is a show that has mystery and murder and missing people, and it's going to continue to unfold and get kind of more, I don't want to say confusing because you're able to draw the threads, but you keep getting these good cliffhangers of, oh, how
elaborate.
How did that happen? Well, now I have to listen to find mm-hmm. out how that happened. I mean, I watched 2 seasons in 48 hours. That's how much I got sucked into this show. Now, it does have to like work to find its balance between how kind of either suspenseful or maybe shocking it wants to be versus how funny it wants to be. And I would say it fits more in that dark humor, you know, comedy in the first season. I think it feels more like an outright comedy in the second season. So even though you do still have that mystery, and I don't want to say, you know, people just become slapstick. It doesn't happen. But I do think people become more exaggerated once you start moving into the second season of the show. Now, the thing that they did is that, of course, with shows, we see characters evolve. We see that for different reasons, either because of how the audience responds to them or how... you know, the story evolves and their arc evolves, or just what they bring to the character and how that gets written down into the actual interactions, you know, what the actor or actress is bringing to the character. And what I love is that two characters specifically, I think, really start to kind of bloom in the second season. So one is plays Elliot in the show. It's John Early. And the other is Meredith Hagner, who plays Portia. And I love how their characters really evolve in season two, especially Portia, because in season one, we see her as this more of kind of like the ditz a bit. And then in season two, she's like the blonde, wealthy girl who didn't have to work for anything. In season two, we see her start becoming more confident, more of a decision maker. And I've loved to see that progression happen. So it's been a very exciting show for those reasons. It's been a very funny show. Like, I've had several absolute laugh out loud moments. One of them I went to send to Andrew, but then I was thinking, like, well, if he watches the show, I don't want to like give away a thing that happened. But some absolutely laugh out loud moments in the show. If you decide to watch it, please give it half a season. I mean, like, that's gonna be weird. I watched episode one a couple months ago. I watched episode one of season one, turned it off, and then didn't come back to it for a couple months because I didn't care for it. And then I started reading reviews. I saw the ratings that it had. I saw what people were saying. I saw that we got a fourth season ordered. And I said, well, I'll try again. And then again, I binged 2 seasons in 48 hours. So it's there. But I think you got to give it time for people to grow on you. And again, for these characters to really start to bloom. Season two is a stronger season than season one. And I'm about to start season three, which is going to have, you know, just came out this year. And I'm excited to see how that goes. So anyway, Search Party. It's on HBO Max or now or here or there or wherever it is. Also, I'm so glad to see Alia Shock. Wait, is it Shockett?
Maybe. I don't know how you pronounce her last name.
Here's the point. She played Maybe on Arrested Development. That's yeah. I just know her as Maybe. Whenever I see her, that's Maybe. But she plays Dory in the show. And it's been exciting to see her in this because, you know, several of the people in Arrested Development we've seen have really big careers since AD ended, and Maybe is one of the people that kind of felt like they fell off the map completely. I mean, like, if you go through and list all the top characters, they've all had huge roles since then that probably eclipse, I would say,
their time in AD. All of them.
And the exception has been Maybe. And I am so glad that she's in the show and that she's good in this show. There are some very emotional moments from her, some really impressive performance bits from her. So that's the other bit. So Search Party, go check it out. Okay, one other thing. This is the last thing. Snakes. Found a snake in our house today. And I just found this so funny. I wanted to share this. And I've had to bite my tongue so hard to not share this before now. There was a snake in her house. Mackenzie was laying in a room and then like looked on the floor, thought it was a piece of like string or rope or something. It was a snake. And it wasn't a big snake. It was like a small like garden snake or gardener snake or
baby snake.
I don't know what they're called. Yeah, exactly. It was very tiny. I did kill it. I didn't want to. I wanted to safely relocate it. I didn't.
What?
But that's not the point.
But why? Like, what?
It seemed complicated. It seemed like a lot of steps to make it too happen, hard. And it was pretty deep in the house, and
okay.
It was clearly already separated from its family, and I just, that's not the point.
Okay.
But I do apologize, and I prayed for it, so it's all taken care of.
Okay, good.
But since this happened, Mackenzie's just absolutely paranoid she's going to find another snake in the house. So I just want to tell you one of the, I think, most amazing places that, so when she was expressing to me where she was afraid she might find a snake, this really jumped out at me as a very unique fear to have. The specific thing she mentioned is that, what if I go to open a jar of pickles and there's a snake in there?
Shut up. No.
I'm not joking.
That's bullshit.
No.
Okay, so you have to buy those like prank things where like a, you know, a thing of chips and the like, you know, 100%. Toy snakes bounce out. Like, you need
of
that.
All the feet. Like, mine would have been put on shoes.
Yeah.
But hers was.
I mean, have you heard toilet? That thing where like in Australia, people, yeah, in the toilet? Yeah. She that's way
name,
more like,
she
that
did
is
name
terrifying.
The toilet. She did name the toilet, but.
But that makes sense. There's an, there's an outlet.
Like, no, her fear is that the snake would undo the lid of a jar of pickles, which we always know is shut too tight.
With his hands.
Well, I assume it would wrap around it and then. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's a it's a fully grown python.
Like, of all the animals capable of opening a jar, a snake is very low on the list.
Would
like,
get inside of the jar, which is probably basically embalming fluid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think pickle juice is good to submerge itself
in. It's just vinegar, right? I mean.
And then would manage to then re-screw the lid on from the inside.
From the inside. This is the least rational thing I think I may have ever heard in my life. Like, legitimately.
But I love this story.
That is her literal expressed fear. What if I open a jar of pickles and there's a snake in there?
I want to see her go.
Mackenzie,
like,
we need to promise you that this will
like
never
go
happen.
And have like a crystal ball and have the fortune teller sit there and say, I see in your future, stay away from pickle jars. Like, it doesn't
and snakes.
Make. Well, it's a ghost now? So yeah, your fortune
is the
teller
reason
is
that
a
pickle
ghost.
Jar.
Snakes.
Is the reason that a pickle jar is particularly bad is that like pickles look enough like snakes that you might not notice it or something like?
Or maybe the issue is that it all looks phallic. Snakes plus pickles is like the most.
We're trying to apply a level of rational thought to something that is void of any. Like that's the
truth.
Here's the other thing right now. We don't even have pickles in our fridge.
She doesn't even buy pickles. Like, that's the thing.
We don't even have pickles. So
we've never owned pickles.
Yeah, that's like you like being worried that you'll never, that you don't want to win the lottery because of the bad luck that comes with winners, but that you never buy a ticket. Like, why would you ever worry about that?
So again, like, so now it would just be if she walks in the kitchen and there's a jar of pickles, it's a trap that's set by a snake. Don't open the jar of pickles. Just go and throw it away.
I'm gonna get
obviously.
I'm gonna get her a pair of yoga pants that has just a step and repeat of snakes all over it, and see if she's comfortable wearing yoga pants with snakes on it.
Andrew,
I'm just gonna send
y'all
some pickles.
Could you just please illustrate a snake in a pickle jar for me?
I can for sure illustrate that.
Lauren will do her mashup. Yeah. You'll do the snake in the pickle jar. All right, Andrew, go ahead and finish it up.
I do know what I'm getting Mackenzie for Christmas.
Yep.
All right. Okay, so a few things this week that I want to talk about. One is Earthworm Jim. Do you guys remember Earthworm Jim?
Earthworm Jim, we think he's mighty fine. Yes.
Okay, so Patrick.
Also, kind of snake-like.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, he's like
a worm.
He's like a worm.
You know what? I played Earthworm Jim at a friend's house, but I never owned the game. But okay. I played it at a friend's house when I was a kid.
So Earthworm Jim.
Watch the cartoon.
Earthworm Jim had a cartoon, it had a video game, it had comics. Well, a little bit ago, they did a, there was a Kickstarter for Earthworm Jim coming back to like the comic world. It was like a new comic featuring Earthworm Jim by the original creator. Well, there is a volume 2 that is on Kickstarter right now. It has like 40 something days as of release day left. So you can go and back this, but it's called Earthworm Jim and Earthworm Jim Fight the Fish. And there are a ton of really, really great, what's it called? The rewards. A lot of really great Kickstarter rewards that you can get on board with this. It's all new illustrations. It's a totally new storyline done by the creator. And there's these companion books that come alongside it. You can get these like hardcover, like deluxe versions of the book. It's really, really cool. I can't believe I missed the first one. I didn't even see the first one. As I was looking at the second one, it was featuring that. So I'm hoping that part of what they'll unlock with some of the stretch goals is the ability to pair the two, like get a first edition and a second edition, or a first volume and a second volume, because the artwork is incredible. The print work looks incredible. It's really cool.
Nice.
Earthworm Jim back in the spotlight. Todd McFarlane was doing something similar with Spawn. He had a Spawn figure up just a couple of months ago, where he was reproducing it he was doing it in order to do the figure that he wanted to do and do the size and do all the different things. So he was kickstarting it.
A figure, not a comic.
It's a
book?
Figure, and he redid the first comic issue. So it comes with a re-illustrated version of the first comic issue in like this special box, and things are signed. Like, it's really cool. It's cool to see the creators of these like iconic properties taking to something like Kickstarter and bringing something direct to market, as opposed to going through, you know, like the manufacturing production process that they typically go through. So anyway, Earthworm Jim, check it out on Kickstarter. There's a link to it in our show notes. Second is I did this. I told you guys that several months ago that I was doing a virtual race series with Disney. Well, I did that. The summer race series is over. The 5 years of Run Disney virtual race series. And so let me show you the medals that I got. So I finished the last one, the last race last week, and I got all the medals in the mail a couple days ago. So here was the first one. This is the Mad Hatter Teacup 5K. And it's hard.
Great. I like how 3D that is.
Yeah, so it's hard to see, but it is dimensional. And then also, if you can see the lanterns, so I'll try to explain it. It's a teacup from the teacups from Disney World and Land, and then it has the lanterns above that, and the lanterns are translucent, so like the light can go through it. You see that on the back? The light can go through it, and it makes it look like the lanterns are lit up. So that's really cool.
That's cool.
The theme for this year's race series was attractions, like classic attractions. Mm-hmm. The other one that I did last month was the Space Mountain. So I don't know if you can see. It's like the original Space Mountain artwork, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And this metal is cute. Very, very weighty. Like this,
it looks
if
big.
You got hit in the face with it, you'd get knocked out for sure. This could break your nose, this thing. I don't know why it's so much bigger than the other one, but it is. Like, it's massive.
Yeah.
And it weighs...
Just like in the apocalypse, like, you fight zombies, like, by spinning your race medals, like, nunchucks.
You could take people out. And each of their lanyards is a custom lanyard and a special lanyard, obviously. I'll save this past month's, because it's my favorite. For running all of them, if you do the entire series, because you can run the races individually and just pay for one race registration and get the one medal. But if you do the entire challenge, which is all 3 months of summer, they send you a fourth commemorative medal for doing that. And so here's the fourth commemorative medal. I don't know if you can see this, Patrick.
Oh, I like that. It looks like a ticket book.
It looks like the original Disney ticket book with the A, B, C, D, and E attraction ticket coupons. And so it's really, really neat. And then here is I'll show you. It also came with a companion custom pin, which is the ticket book, which has a lanyard attached to it, but also is a two-pronged pin. How cool is that?
I've never seen that. That's awesome.
It's very, very neat. So it's a small version of that medal, but it's an enamel pin for those of you who are just listening. And then here is my favorite one. This was this month. This was August's race. and it was to commemorate the anniversary of the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
It is Madame Leota.
Oh.
But her face
is
the crystal ball.
That's crazy.
It's inside of an actual domed glass lens.
Crazy.
And her face is actually carved inward so that it gives you the contour that it's it's coming out. And then when you add that with the fact that it's got the crystal part on the outside, and it is concave, like you can see how it's like it's like an Ovation guitar, if you're familiar with Ovation guitars. The lanyard is double-sided. One side is black with the purple faces, and the other side is purple with the black faces. It's Patrick's favorite wallpaper. Anyway.
That's what I've said. I want to do my podcast room in that. Is it velvet? What is it?
Yeah, I don't think it is velvet.
We could get a version that's velvet.
But it definitely should be velvet if it's not. Anyway, those are the race medals. Very cool. If you are into running, you're into Disney and you're into the hardware that comes alongside with running, Disney races are the best for that kind of thing, because the commemorative medals are fantastic. And I didn't know that it was going to come with this little pin, and this pin is awesome. It's going to look great on the board and on the jacket. Final thing, that if you want to see these pictures, I'll post a picture on my Instagram, and then we'll link to it on our show notes. Final thing, I talked last week about getting the Mario Lego set, and
hey.
I don't know if that came through or not, but here is Lego Mario. I have him right here.
Cute.
And I'm going to just
blink at us when you pick that up.
Yeah, he blinks. Crazy. If I lay him down, he falls asleep. He does all these various different things. His eyes are a screen, his mouth is a screen, and his chest is a screen. Anyway. I'll give you, I hope that the sounds will come through, but each level starts off by coming out of a warp pipe.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then your timer starts and it plays the music. And then you encounter bad guys. Like, here's a Goomba. You jump on its head. Here's
cool.
The baby Bowser. So you first have to knock him down, and then you have to step
and
on
and Andrew's like actually tapping the
you
two
have to actually,
toys
yeah,
against
you
each
have
other.
To tap
that's
them
what's
together.
Making the sound.
And
it's
then
not
you
like
go,
a button.
Yeah, no, it's not a button. And I'll show you what happens in a second. And then obviously when you finish the level, there's the
oh,
pole
cool.
And you.
Dun, 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 dun.
And it shows you, it displays on his chest how many coins you have. And how many, what your run was like, essentially. When you turn him off. Ah, oh, he's cute. So anyway.
Oh, cute.
He's also a color picker as well.
He is. He could be a color picker. So he functions as a sensor on the bottom. And each of these special items you'll see has like this, it's not a QR code. It's like it's a special. No, it's just a scanner. Like it's essentially a QR code, but it's a different, like a proprietary QR code. So each character and each thing that he interacts with has one of those different codes on it. And as you hover his sensor over top of it and interact with it in specific ways, it registers that and it does whatever the computer is telling it to do. You can put on different suits and the different suits do different things. Like if you give him the fire suit, you do this and you kind of tilt him like that, you lift him up and you tilt him, he throws fireballs and you get coins for throwing fireballs. We have the propeller suit, which is where if you like jerk him up like this really quickly, you hear the brrrr, and then as you do this down with him, he gets coins for kind of sailing through the air. Different suits do different things and get you different coins in different ways, and so it's really cool. We have like three of the play sets now. It's really fun. I'm gonna post a video of it on Facebook, and then we'll put a link to it. I shot a video of Cooper and I doing it yesterday. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely
that's cool.
It's definitely different. It's a different way to interact with Legos, and I'm a big fan of it. So we'll probably get a few more.
The reason I called it a color
sets.
Picker is because it's more than just a QR code. It is actually registering the color of the item you put it down on. So.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. Specifically. Yeah. That's one point I didn't say. So like, not everything has the little code on it. But if you hop over a green space, anything that's green, it registers on his chest that he's in a grassland. If you go over yellow, he's in sand. What? If you go over the red, he's in lava and fire. And if you stay on red too long, his eyes turn like to X's and he dies.
That is crazy.
And then blue is water. So
blue is water, and it has the swimming, and it makes the sounds and everything. So it's really pretty impressive.
But literally, like, Andrew's wearing a blue shirt. He could stick Mario on his blue shirt, and it would show the water.
Yeah.
So it is still, it's actively reading color. In addition to, it also reads those dot grids and those patterns.
Because that's so cool, because then you could, like, craft your own, like, you know, levels out of, like, cardboard and stuff, like... That's really awesome.
Yeah, you could. So let me show you. Here's a blue sticky note. And he's not doing it, which is perfect. It does work, though. he's literally looking at me like, he's looking at me with side eyes right now. Like, what are you trying to do with me? Anyway, he's a lot of fun. Building the sets are pretty cool. They're really unique and really inventive.
He's weighty.
He is weighty. Like, you definitely don't feel like you've cheaped out when you get these sets. They're pretty cool. Anyway, that's a lot of stuff that I got and that I got to see and do this week. So that's going to be it for our Around the Table. Up next, let's talk about some categories. It's time for categories. That's how we should start it.
Ding. That's what I was waiting for.
Every week we talk about stuff that is new and fun in the world of pop culture. Whether it's new to the world or new to us, doesn't matter. It's all good. And so, Patrick, why don't you kick us off?
I will be happy to. I don't know what I was going to say, but
yeah,
I feel like that's not correct. I'm talking about Brass Birmingham. Brass Birmingham is the sequel to Brass, and it is a game by Roxley Games. Now, I have never played Brass. I've also never played Brass Birmingham, so consider this an audio unboxing, which is really the worst style of unboxing.
Yeah.
You would want to do it in person, and then if not, really you probably want to watch a video.
It's lots of, look at that. Oh,
considering
wow.
I already botched my intro, I'm probably the wrong person to describe things, but I will try. So the idea with Brass, for those that don't know, including myself, from what I've ascertained, is that you're in the Industrial Revolution. And you are trying to build up your factories and things based on how the markets are behaving. And so you're competing against other people to kind of work the markets and perform the best during this time. But again, I haven't played the game, so I'm just going to talk through it. So let me show the box right now to Lauren. Andrew's already seen a bit of this. But this is the brass box, and so it's right now you're just seeing the cobblestone street. It's leaning heavily into white and gold aesthetic, but everything is very
dragon scales.
No, it's cobblestone, but everything is very high quality. So it has gold embossed. Would you call this embossing, Andrew?
It's it's a spot UV.
Spot UV. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Spot varnish or
yeah, it's not, but it's not a varnish. It is.
Or it's like
it's
foil.
Like foil. Yeah, it's a foil.
Yeah,
it's a foil trans.
But it's like shiny,
like metallic
gold letters,
foil thing.
Which is what Patrick sees. I just see shiny gold.
I mean,
wouldn't
you say that they're brass?
Yes. They're not gold.
No,
I would say it's gold.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. But there's now that you've said it, clearly they're brass.
Yeah.
All right.
I was like, somebody thought of this way before I did.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. So, honestly, not a lot of rules to the game and not a lot of components to the game. It kind of surprised me because the box is heavy. The box is it's fairly large. I mean, we're not Gloomhaven size, but we're like 60% of that, which is still big. But
unfair comparison.
It feels like it weighs nearly as much as the Gloomhaven box, which is insane. So I was expecting a lot of components with this, and it does not have a lot of components. So only a few things.
It has like three pieces of paper in there that say IOU.
Yeah. So this is the game board here. Again, this is very high quality. This is something that's going to withstand a lot of folds. I will say everything is pretty dark on the game board. Now, what I don't know, and I'll reference the actual wording in a second. I don't know if this is the deluxe edition, if the coloring is any different on any of the boards because it's the deluxe edition. And again, I'll reference that in just a second. So everything is really nice. It's kind of maybe what you would expect. I think it nails the aesthetic that it's trying to nail. It's just very dark. There's a lot of low contrast that I'm not sure. Yeah, part of me kind of thinks it's going to affect me a little bit. actually less so on the map and more on the player boards, which is what I'm showing them now. These are the player boards. And I just think the contrast is going to be an issue, but I will find out as
I see what you're saying for sure.
I play more. Now, the map and the player boards do
have...
Is
that like something to do with the story behind the game in some way? It's all
well, it's just kind of looks like, I mean, frankly, the aesthetic looks a bit like a Sweeney Todd aesthetic. I mean, it just looks
all right.
You know, like inner
Tim Burton or a friend may have been involved.
Does it take place in like Massachusetts or something like that? Like with the
it takes place in Birmingham.
Oh, because I did look at that and it did look like New England-y though. Like that is the vibe that you get, like a port
100%
in New England.
Sweeney Todd.
They're like, get out of my yard. You're pissing all over my car, like that kind of, you know what I mean? But you're
like,
right. Birmingham,
you,
I guess
you
Alabama.
Have chimney sweeps, and they also like light lanterns with, you know, fire sticks or
while
something.
While having a lobster roll.
Yeah, and then someone selling papes. I don't know what's going on. There's just a lot, it has that like really like, I keep wanting to say smoky. What I mean is like soot covered and like oily as
Think of Mary Poppins, like before they go to the magical animated land.
So once you pull out the player mats and once you pull out the board, it's got an awesome organizer. So everything has a compartment. This organizer raises up flush with the top, so everything fits really, really nicely. Now, again, this is the deluxe edition, so I do have some deluxe components. But walking through those, the thing that's going to stand out the most, you have some of the typical... tokens, these kind of like wooden cubes. We see those a lot in games. And then we also have circles and hexes. The tokens that stand out, though, are the barrels. I personally haven't seen wooden barrels in a game yet. You know, a lot of times I assume that I see the same token over and over because it's cheaper with production. You get to reuse items or reuse molds or reuse whatever. I have not seen barrels before. These are great. Now, you're going to want to paint these because they look a bit like they came from a Michaels...
Yeah, like they came from a hobby store. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like that maple color and they're super
something.
Clean, even though this board is like super, like, again, soot covered and oily. So you're going to want to paint these because they're too nice right now. Of course, cards, and again, not a lot of cards, but I'll show you all the kind of illustration style in here. I'll try to give you a card that's a bit brighter so you can see a bit better.
Oh, okay.
How would you describe that, Lauren or Andrew?
This reminds me of.
It looks almost isometric, but it's not quite.
Here's
I'm mad. I can't think of the movie that this reminds me of.
I said Sweeney Todd already.
Yeah. Is it Mary Poppins?
It's more like steampunky.
And then these are the back of the
like
cards
young
here.
Young adult series. That's cool.
There you go.
I like it.
And the back of the card purposefully has shading on it. So that way it almost looks like a metallic that's reflecting light, but it's not actually a foil or anything. So it's just shaded that way.
Carnival Row. It looks a lot like... It looks a lot like that.
I was thinking Mortal Engines.
Barker's Row? Not Barker's Row. I think it is called Carnival Row. Or Carnival...
Wait, Barker?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, Andrew,
yes,
but Carnival I don't know.
It's kind of that steampunky like era... But that is, I think, in New England. So, like,
maybe.
We're getting all these
vibes.
Basically,
you made Mary Poppins real dark and steampunk.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty.
So the coolest thing that this comes with now, again, this is the deluxe edition, but it would be these iron clays. Now, iron clays are a standalone product, and I know that because they actually had iron clay. They had a Kickstarter for these. I almost backed it, and I decided not to, but I may have mentioned it on the podcast last year.
Yeah.
But this is a standalone, and they make, you know, we would just call them poker chips. There's apparently there's a lot more to it than that, and they have all these like special things they do, so they're all like weighty and whatever. But they come with a sleeve or an actual like tray.
Like it's a hard plastic tray.
Yeah, with a top that comes off, and then they I want to say it's like 70 of these iron clays that are in different denominations. And again,
and they look like
yeah, those are Presbyterian,
like,
those are Catholic.
Yeah, these are Lutheran. Well, and so that's the thing too. Like, I guess with they're very weighty. I guess one of the things is you want to have a lot of weight. They don't feel plasticky. Again, they have more of a clay chip feel to them, which I think hints the name. But they come in a sealed box, and all that fits really nicely inside the tray. So I was shorted a bit on... I feel like I was shorted on a token bag, but that's okay. Outside of that, There are the actual tokens for your player mat. They are color coded, and it's just more of that same aesthetic. Here you'll see we have Alexander Hamilton on that token.
You can't just say it.
That's Chuck Birmingham. maybe it does take place in New England, but the guy's name is Birmingham.
Oh, there we go.
That's a great idea. Great thought.
Are you just assuming there could be like a Birmingham, Massachusetts?
Like there's a Springfield everything.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Are you just assuming it's Birmingham, Alabama?
Do you know any other Birminghams, notable Birminghams?
This is probably English. I'm just throwing this out there. This is probably like England, like Birmingham.
Oh, definitely
England.
Could be British.
Oh, yeah. Classic American thinking everything is America.
I just realized that you're like really hung up on this Birmingham thing.
I was because I thought that it looked like Bostonian.
Like, he really had like immersed himself in this world. Yeah, he had the accent and everything.
I had this whole idea, but then you guys pointed out that it said Birmingham, and I'm like, oh. It had completely diverted what I thought this game was, and I realized, oh, it could be just a different Birmingham in England.
Yeah, no. My guess is this is like a Birmingham.
You haven't read the story arc yet, have you?
No, I haven't done anything. I just did an unboxing. I don't know anything about this game. This game might not even be fun.
We'll have to play.
That's what I want to stress. This game might not be fun.
It does say it takes like 2.5 hours. So
it literally it's Looks a two pretty. Hour. It's a 2 hour playthrough.
Bye.
And I imagine that's assuming you know how to play. So I can't imagine how long the first playthrough is going to take.
It's probably about 3 hours.
It seems like it's probably a medium or it's a bit heavier game. Like it might not be a full on heavy, but it's going to be like a medium, like high medium. And by the way, when you hear people talk about the heaviness of a game, they're referring to the complexity of it. So
yeah.
If a game is something you jump in and start playing immediately, then it's not a lightweight game. It's a game that takes a lot of either time or effort to either learn or play, or it has a lot of components, or it's very involved, and those are going to be heavy games.
As the learning curve goes up, so does the heaviness.
Yeah, and so this is going to be probably, I'm going to guess it's going to be like an upper mid on that scale. So this is not something you're going to want to just play around the family when you have, play around the family, oh my gosh. Play around the table with, you know, when you have a couple family members come over for dinner. This is not that type of game. This is going to be more involved than that. But again, might be bad. I doubt it. It does have an amazingly large list of accolades, and it is one of the highest rated games on Board Game Geek right now. In fact, I think it's like in the top 5 on Board Game Geek. So I'm confident.
Up there with Pandemic Legacy.
Which we're trying to finish right now, but yeah. The pandemic has gotten in our way. So I'm confident it will be a good game, but I will know more later. And when I know more later, I'll tell you. But based only on the aesthetic of it, it's clear a very high level of detail has gone into it. It's clear that it's very, very high quality. And for the money, I mean, I think I paid $65 for that. And for that, or $70, that quality for that amount of money is completely reasonable.
Would you have paid $71 to have all the bags?
Yeah, I would have paid an extra dollar to get an extra bag because I was short. And also, I wish those barrels were painted because now I got to paint them. And painting's, it'll be fine.
And by you, do you mean we?
But it is.
Yeah, I mean we. What we're going to do is we're each paint one barrel.
It is like a deluxe version, though. You think that that might be thought of.
Here's what happened.
Me,
Andrew, and Chris will each paint one barrel. Andrew and Chris will determine my barrel doesn't look good enough, and then they will paint the rest of the barrels.
And then we will have Patrick. We will assign Patrick the magnet duty.
Yeah. And then for some completely unknown reason, I'll have to embed 10 magnets in every single barrel. Chris.
I was like, I feel like this might have happened.
Yeah, something similar. But anyway, so that is Brass Birmingham by Roxley Games. Go pick it up. Well, frankly, if you can. So initially, the retail. Okay, so it's back in stock. I was gonna say when I went to buy this, the retail everywhere I could find was sold out. I did buy it from Roxley's website because I am trying to not support Amazon. And quickly, I am gonna throw in a fuck Amazon in just a second at the end of this. But I don't try not to support them. So I was buying off Roxley's site. I actually bought the deluxe not because I'm bougie, but because they were sold out of the retail version. Just check their site, and they are restocked now, so they have both in stock. But man, the Iron Clays for an extra $15, I would say it's worth it to go and spend the money on that. Okay,
I was like, Mr. Exclusive is trying to talk somebody out of the exclusive version. Like,
Those ironclads are nice. But it does mention
Patrick
something.
Patrick doesn't want everyone else to have what he has, though. That's the thing.
True. That's why he likes it. Yeah.
So the thing I was going to say, it does mention something on the website about the deluxe edition having a black dyed chipboard for tiles and tokens. I haven't heard the term chipboard, but from what I can tell, it's almost like a, I think it's the player mat.
It's like the actual cardboard that it's printed on or whatever is like black core.
Yeah. Oh, good. So you do know. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah. See how this is like regular cardstock and the sides are like white or like cardboard color? That would be where it's all black.
It's black on the inside.
Like
too.
This not is solid just, black and then they put something on top of it. Yeah. Yes.
So I commented about the how dark the boards are. It could be that's part of the deluxe edition that it looks darker. I would assume that if you're printing on a fully through and through dark object that maybe would reduce the contrast. I don't know.
They would be laying down a layer of white before they print anything on it, though.
Okay.
For it to be
or like basically putting a print on top of it, with a sticker.
So maybe it doesn't affect it at all. Really, if you buy the deluxe edition, really the thing you're getting is those iron clays. But again, for $15 to have 70 of those iron clay tokens, absolutely worth it. Okay, real quick on my Amazon thing. Briefly, Amazon has released a new podcast service. And I think they were hosting audio before, but now it's going to be like a standalone, a competitor against what Spotify's doing and Stitcher and anybody else. They put in their terms of service that if your podcast is on their platform, you are not allowed to say anything negative about Amazon.
Wow.
What?
Now, that's the reason I wanted I wanted to make sure in this episode, because we are going to put ourselves on their platform, Amazon is hot garbage. They fucking suck. So I just wanted to get that in real quick. Now, I do think they had enough outroar. They've since walked that back. I still want to make sure I get that in there, though. So that's the reason for the foul bit of this episode. It's the smallest form of rebellion I could possibly partake in because no one will ultimately hear it except the people listening to this show.
Yeah. And they don't listen to you anyway. So
are you listening, Mr. Bezos?
I thought you said Mr. Basil.
And then Who's Mr. I had Basil? To maybe it's what her category is about to be about. I don't know.
And then I had
characters from Birmingham.
I had to apply some critical thinking
To
then understand what you were talking about, Mr. Bezos. Yeah, yes, Chuck Bezos. All right.
It didn't sound like it. I'm sorry.
Charles Basil.
All right, Lauren, go ahead and take it.
Okay. I'm going to talk about Lovecraft Country, which is the new series on HBO. It is on HBO Max. I saw that this morning, but it's an HBO proper show, unlike Search Party, which is only on HBO
and
Max.
And no one listening knows the difference.
I've learned the difference because of this show. Go on, Lauren.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. So I was like hesitating to bring this up because it literally just premiered yesterday, but I am very excited to have like new content around. So I want to like get you all excited about this and then we can all watch the series together as it comes out and talk about it because I really liked this first episode. It did a lot of things that I really like, but I'll kind of start with the plot. In case you have not heard about it. So this is a new series. It's based on a novel of the same name. I've never read the book, but I'm probably going to after the series. And so it's about this guy. He's a young black man named Atticus, and he's traveling across America during the 1950s, so very, very racist. And he's going with his uncle and his childhood friend, and they're looking for his father who's gone missing. And the only clue they have is this letter that he wrote, and it says that he's going to this place called Artem, which is connected to H.P. Lovecraft. And there's a lot of Lovecraft references, obviously, in this. And like one of my favorite things about this, and I'm not going to bury the lead because the show does not either. This is in the trailer, and like they mix like real life horror with like Lovecraft, like supernatural horror.
Yeah.
And like, I honestly can't tell you which is scarier after watching this first episode from the way that they did it.
I would agree with that. It was, so I'm not sure I liked the show. I'm still trying to, I was drawing while it was on. So I didn't give it like my full attention. So I will go back and watch it again to give it my full attention. But the things that were terrifying about the show were not the creatures. I've been immersed in this a lot in these past couple of weeks because I watched all of Umbrella Academy season 2, and that takes place in the 60s where there's a lot of that racism and a lot of that stuff. And I just watched something else that takes place in the same era. In Doom Patrol, it cuts back to some of these things. Oh. And so there's lots of, I'm like living in this era quite a bit right now. And I even leaned over last night and said, I have to imagine that this is legitimately how people talk because we see this over and over and over again. And I'm like, I can't imagine that. Like that is otherworldly that this is how people treated other people and how people lived with other people. Yeah. And so like what you're saying about, you don't know which one's worse, where one picks up and one leaves off. Like maybe give me the creature over the systemic racism any day. 'Cause it does seem way more horrifying.
Well, it's like simpler. Like, you know, it's like these Lovecraft monsters are just pure evil. There's no gray, you know, it's like, it's going to eat you. Get it first. So it's very black and white, but the like, you know, more human horrors are great. I mean, they're still pretty black and white. They are harsh. Yeah. Like at least within this first episode.
Yeah. I would agree. It's a really interesting show for sure.
Yeah, and like they really did not hold back in this pilot. Like they went full force. Like I was expecting them to really kind of hold on to these monsters and not reveal that that's part of it right away. And so I was kind of surprised that in the trailer they showed you, but then they kind of got me again because they show that same clip from the trailer in a dream within the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, okay, maybe you are going to trick me, but they go straight back to the other way. And like, I love that. Like they're not messing around. They're just like throwing you into this new concept. And so that means to me that like, it gets even more interesting in this new way that we haven't seen before, because we've seen monsters before but not kind of in this situation, and it seems really interesting to me.
Yeah, and I don't know if you
like this era is new.
I think we've talked about it before, but like American Horror Story, you watch American Horror Story?
Oh yeah.
It the ending of this one, and then it did the kind of the season preview at the end.
Yeah.
It felt very American Horror Story-ish. Like that's kind of, it felt like it was in that vein of obviously fantasy horror, like fictional, like historical fiction, like that kind of thing, like where it's intermixing real and whatever. So I'm interested to see what happens with it. I don't think it's going to be quite as cut and dry as I thought that it was going to be going into it.
Yeah. I'm glad that I was like decently surprised with this first episode, because I'd been trying to kind of find out just enough about it to like figure out what was going on, to try it, because I'm curious about it anyway. The trailer was really interesting, but I just want to know like a little bit more. So I've been like trying to like find out but not spoil myself, and like, man, they really surprised me. It's just cool so far. So I hope a lot of people want to watch it. And I have to mention this. They did like one of my favorite things in this show when like in horror movies, the people in it have the same references and knowledge we do. So like they see a vampire and they call it a vampire, and they're like, well, if it bites you, you're going to turn into a vampire. And there's no like in between of like, oh, well, we shouldn't kill them because that's our friend or whatever. Like, nope, nope, nope. It's a monster. Get rid of it. And I love that.
Shoot it. Like, you need to be shooting this. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
I like the epitome of that is like in Shaun of the Dead when they're like, don't say the Z word. But it's like, I love it when they know what you know and you don't have to like wait for them to figure it out. 'Cause it's like, it's a vampire. Don't mess around. 'Cause like, that's like you're screaming, don't go into the basement. But the things that they made you like care about in this show were like a totally different thing to be scared about. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I'm interested to see where it goes for sure.
Yeah.
Is that it?
So we're right on the cusp of it. Everybody can jump in, and yeah, that's it.
Everybody who has HBO Max has to wait an hour to watch it. I learned this because I tried to watch it during the premiere, but it didn't air on HBO Max until after the episode fully aired on HBO.
I'm going to say this because I know this from Game of Thrones. The only way you can watch it on a streaming service when it's live is if you're on HBO
Now
Go, which is the same one that you have if you automatically have an HBO subscription, not HBO Now or HBO Max.
Okay.
The kind of like caveat with that, because it's cheaper than having a TV subscription, is that like you get the episodes immediately after they air.
Yes. Yeah. Immediately. So like,
yeah,
it aired at 8 a.m. Yeah. It was perfect viewing time. 8 p.m. And I tried watching it at 8:55, thinking I'd be like, okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like going crazy. And I texted Lauren and I was like, how are you watching this show? Like, because you and I had been texting back and forth a little bit and I knew you were watching. I'm like, how? Like, I'm not seeing it. I even tried powering off my Apple TV and relaunching it and like seeing if maybe like something hadn't like reloaded well enough or whatever. And then you were like, oh, you gotta wait. And then at 9:01, it was up there and was ready to go. So it was, it was good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that it?
That's it. It's okay. Your turn, Andrew.
I'm just going to take us home then. I'll take us from one streaming service to another. Apple TV has a new offering that just came out this week, and I was very excited to watch it because I'm a huge fan of Jason Sudeikis. He has a new TV show on Apple TV called Ted Lasso. And Patrick, have you heard anything about this show yet?
I have because I got an email from Apple telling me that it was out.
All right. So
but
this
I haven't watched, I don't think I've watched a trailer or anything.
Okay, you should. I think you'll like it. So this is, there is the quick premise of the show is there is a football team in England that is up for new management. So there's a way that happens.
I actually did read the brief on this.
Okay, so the anyway, yes, husband, there's a husband and wife who own a team over in the UK. They get a divorce. The wife gets the team in the divorce. And as an act of defiance against her husband, who loves the team, she hires an American football coach who has never watched or played or coached a soccer game to come over and be the head manager and coach for the team. He brings along with him his kind of right-hand man, and it's the first three episodes are him kind of acclimating to the team, getting used to the team, and, you know, having him trying to get acclimated to being over there and learning new things. Obviously, everything is a learning curve for him. Jason Sudeikis plays Ted Lasso. He is the head coach. Hannah Waddingham, do you know who that is, Lauren? I recognize her from things, and I can't remember
from
what.
Been in other things?
She plays Rebecca, who is the team, like who is the owner of the team. But the show is very, it's a little unique. It's fun. It's funny, but it's also pretty heartwarming. I think if you're a fan of Jason Sudeikis, you'll like it. He hails from Kansas City. So imagine someone who's, you know, grown up with barbecue in Kansas City, going over to the UK and having to coach a team where, I mean, in the UK, people take football very, very seriously. And so they're people are not happy about him coming over and being a part of it. And his whole thing is trying to win them over and learn the game in the process. And so first three episodes are already up on Apple TV. They will be releasing every Friday until the season is complete. And so I will be for sure watching this every Friday. It's a great show. I think they're only like 30 minutes per episode or something like that. They're not long.
Oh, nice.
You know how you felt, Patrick, watching Barry the first time?
Yes.
This feels like Barry, but with different story tropes. But it feels like Barry, like where you're rooting for the guy, and it's like an offbeat, wholesome kind of, or like warm-hearted kind of show. It's like that. But
so it reminded me of, well, and let me real quick say this: Barry is probably like in my top two favorite shows of all time. I absolutely am in love with that show right now. Also, real quick, Hannah Waddingham is who rang the bell and said shame in Game of Thrones.
That's so who that was?
Now you know exactly who it is.
The shame nun, obviously.
The shame nun, yeah, completely. I mean, she's been in other things where you actually see more of her face, but that's...
Yeah, I would probably not recognize her as that. Like,
the description of this made me think of... episodes, and inside of episodes they're making a show called Pucks.
Yes.
And he was supposed to be like, you know, it's like the hockey coach, but the hockey coach is having to coach the like the basketball team or something. When I remember reading the synopsis of this movie and all, or this TV show, and I was just thinking like, oh, this is Pucks from episodes. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Anyway, that's I give this show my full endorsement. I think it's going to be a really good one. So go check it out if you have Apple TV, and most of us do have Apple TV, at least for the next 6 months.
Did you say there's one episode out so far?
There's three. They released with the first three.
Okay. Okay.
So, it's good. Okay. I think that's going to be it for this episode. You can find show notes and links over at mofone.network. We talked about some cool stuff, so go watch it, go buy some of it and all of that good stuff. We got told a couple times this week that people's wallets were hurting a little bit after our last show where we talked about a lot of stuff to buy and people went over and listened. So, as you listen, maybe just tell people where you hear about stuff. I don't know. It'd be nice. Yeah. Just drop the name. You can also
don't spend money if it puts your family in jeopardy.
Well, no.
Well, yeah.
No, Patrick.
So only spend it if you got it.
Split on this. Never mind. We'll save this for next episode.
All right.
Are you just like explaining the basics of finance? Like, yeah. Don't spend money.
But,
you know,
but also, if you don't have the money, then maybe don't spend the money.
But unless you think you might find the money later.
Yeah, if you think there's a good chance you might find the money later, then yeah, you're probably
like
fine.
Before the bill, like if you can float it, maybe.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to stare at your Prince John action figure versus like a dinner, this might be where you need to change your mind.
Yeah. But if it's like a nicer dinner or just like a normal dinner, then maybe just go for a normal dinner.
But if you find yourself debating this a lot, seek help.
Yeah, that and there is the underlying theme of this whole episode. That's the moral of this story. You can find, like we said, the show notes and links on the website. But on the website, you can also find our Maker's Dozen page, which has a bunch of people, like over 20
Killing
interviews
it.
Now. Like it's Killing really, it. Really cool.
Can I just, do you want to hear some of the ones scheduled for this week?
I couldn't possibly imagine something I'd want more.
Dinner? That's what I would like right now, since we were just mentioning it. So we have Dan Lee. He's out on. He just came out on Monday. Caleb Buckner, so videographer, is out on Tuesday. Now this one, Lauren, this is a friend of yours, but Bean Police.
Yeah,
Bean Police.
I love her stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Her real name's Stefania. I have like four Garcia. Of her pieces in my house. I love her artwork. She's great. You guys got to check her out.
For the toy, so we have videographer, artist, letterer. For the toy lovers, we have Sket One on Thursday of this week. So that's tomorrow. I mean, he's a huge.
They call
deal.
Him Sket One and Done.
Yeah. Yeah. Like. Anyways, honestly, of all the toy makers out there. He's probably in my top two. I just so love his stuff. It's great. And then we have Jody Schumacher on Friday of this week, which that's another one of your friends, Lauren.
Yeah.
I say friends, like but it's friend another one Milwaukee. Of like, it's like another one of the artists you support, I should say.
Yeah.
And then we have awesome ones next week. I mean, we just have so many.
We've got quite a few in the chamber that I'm really excited
very
about.
Excited.
I mean, these have all been super fun to read and to have people take part in, but it's fun to see how people are engaging in this as well as a means to kind of get their stuff out there. It's really cool. So
expect next week some We Are Pretend Friends, expect some Jason Craig, expect some Lightning and Arrows, who by the way won our Potter trivia
this week.
And there'll be even more. So we just have so many.
One of our former Maker's Dozen people won last week as well.
Who won last week?
That's the tie-in.
Kate Carlton.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so if you want to win the Harry Potter trivia, you need to be a part of the Maker's Dozen.
Become a good artist. Tell us you're a good artist. Then start entering Potter trivia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just put yourself in front of us enough that we're like, all right, we get it.
You know what everyone that's been a part of the Maker's Dozen has in common?
What's that, Patrick? Tell us.
What do they have in common?
They all rated and reviewed the show. If you want to be a great artist, you got to make sure you rate. They all rate and review podcasts.
Yeah.
That's probably more general
it's
and harder
a qualification
for you to prove.
For being a very good artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to be a great artist, you need to rate and review the things that you love. And you can start with the MF1. Network. So rate and review this podcast that you're listening to right now, and then please jump over to Pondering Potter, give that a rating and review as well. Honestly, I don't care if you lie in it. It's fine. I like.
We don't care if you say you
just give
like
us a good
it.
Review.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're talking about Big Brother. Like I have.
Oh.
Turn off your empathy right now. Just lie. Yeah. Play the game. Rate and review stuff. It yeah. helps us.
Yeah, it's fun. That's what it's all about. And then what else is there? I mean, we've said there's pins. Oh, we've got some pins. They are shipping. Yeah. So you want to get your pin, head over to mof1.network and buy your pin with the fantastic artwork by Art by Colin and the backer mm-hmm. art by Art by Colin and, you know, all of that stuff. Go get
if
a pin.
You ordered a pin. It's shipping this week. You'll yes. get a notification. And if you don't mm-hmm. get a notification by the end of the week, send us an email, yeah. but they are on the way.
Yeah, the Inception pins are about to be incepted into your hands. So, intercepted?
Yes. No.
What would it be? I don't know.
No, incepted.
Matter. Okay, cool. Anything else? Podcast on the Instagram is just mof1podcast. Join the Slack conversation. Lots of fun in there.
There's so much going mm-hmm. on.
We have there's a lot so happening, so on. Now is the time to jump in. There's a lot. Oh, Patreon. Go to patreon.com/podcast to support the show financially. $2, $4, or $6 a month. Not a lot of money, but every little bit helps, and we're working toward upgrading some of Lauren's equipment. And so, yeah, help a brother and sister out. Just
support.
Head over to patreon.com.
It helps. And, I mean, that money is what ends up allowing us to do things like Maker's Dozen,
yes.
Pondering Potter, making yes. a pin. And yep. it's going to help us make more things. We've got some cool things in the chamber with the MF1 artist series that we'd like to roll up before the end of the year. And yeah. Patreon helps us get there.
And it ain't no secret. That's yeah. a
It also
Harry
ain't
Potter.
A pin.
That's a Harry Potter.
I want to make sure that's clear. Artist series is not a pin series. The first thing was a pin.
Yes.
Next thing's not going to be
second
a pin.
Second thing new. Yeah.
The second thing is custom busts of Patrick's face. That we're sending out to artists and having them paint. That actually would be fun.
That would be awesome.
As I'm making this thing up in real time, like, oh, that would be.
The problem is you said out loud. So next week, Mark Bricky will be doing it on his podcast.
That's true. Hey, congratulations to congratulations
just
to all
kidding.
The
Mark doesn't have to steal from us because he has better ideas than us.
That's true.
There are other people that do steal from us, but Mark doesn't
and they,
need to.
And they know who they are. And more importantly, we know who they are. we're gonna get out of here on that note, though. You can find me at Andrew Sale with threes instead of E's on all the different platforms.
I'm Not Cool Co or Not Cool Company on all the different platforms.
And I'm at squatch.in. That's I-N. I don't know why I'd be an E-N, but I just have a lot of anxiety that you're gonna type it in wrong.
No.
So at squatch.
Hey, as somebody has an I-N at the end of their last name, you do need to spell it for everyone.
Yes.
I promise.
Squatchin.
People never get it right.
That's perfect.
And that's on
and
Instagram.
You have an E-N on the front end of your name, and then the I back do. End of your name is an I-N. You are all sorts of messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay. Yep.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Patrick.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
That was amazing. Adios.
Is that from Earthworm Jim?
No, I don't.
I'm just kidding. I know it's not from Earthworm Jim.
I'm dead.
Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh.